Well, as we have been the recipients of the hospitality of the Verona congregation, it's been a pleasure working with Debbie, with Joyce, with Charlotte, with Christina, of course, David this morning, the rest of the congregation. I thought it appropriate to focus for a few moments on the biblical concept of hospitality. Though we don't always talk about it as such, if we take the Bible seriously, hospitality is a moral imperative incumbent on the Christian. Congregations that have a spiritual vitality about them, which are contagious and transformative, will have an innate culture of hospitality about them. In a congregation that is hospitable, strangers are made to feel like part of the family, kind of like you've made us feel this morning. Two passages this morning, one which David read in our Old Testament passage. Abram and Sarah are in Canaan. Sarah is barren, and by this time has given up hope of giving Abraham a child. In fact, by this time she has given to Abraham her servant Hagar, by whom Abram has a son, Ishmael. Abraham, and as you heard, Abraham and Sarah are camped by the oaks of Mamre when they have visits from some strangers. And then in our New Testament passage, Paul is writing to the saints at Rome. Chapters 1 through 11 of the book of Romans are heavily theological. They even mention good old Father Abraham in parts of them. The Apostle Paul talks about salvation by grace, faith, the inclusion of the Gentiles, and so on in these chapters. And then it's like there's this big therefore. And indeed, he begins chapter 12 with the words, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters." In other words, taking into account all this theology of the first 11 chapters, this is how you ought to live. Listen to verses 9 through 13 of chapter 12. Actually, I will read the first verse and then on down through 9 through 13. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and redeemer. Amen. Have you ever been the recipient of an extraordinary gesture of hospitality from someone you did not know? I have, and you don't forget it. And I have shared this story with the FPC congregation. But from 1984 to 86, Teresa, Richard, and I were fortunate enough to live in St. Andrews, Scotland. I was studying there as a Rotary International Fellowship recipient and was fortunate enough to spend a second year working in a Church of Scotland parish. Anyway, the time came for us to return to the United States, and on the next to last night, before we were to fly home, we chose to dine at a place we had always heard about, the Pete Inn. Maybe some of you have been there. It's outside of St. Andrews. But because of our budget, students' budget, had never gone to. But now, our departure imminent, we decided to splurge. Well, during the meal, we began chatting with a group of Americans, incidentally, who happened to be Southerners, two couples sitting at the table next to us. It surfaced that we had lived in St. Andrews for about 2 years, our time was up, and that we were headed back to the States. We chatted back and forth over the course of the meal, shared with them how much we loved our time there, and how hard it was to leave. When they got up to leave, we wished them well and gave them a hug and finished our meal. And when it came time for us to pay for our meal, we discovered that our new friends had paid for our entire meal, tip included. Though we were strangers to them, they made us feel welcomed and blessed us beyond our deserving. This hospitality is reflected in our passage in Genesis. In the story of Abraham and Sarah, three men stopped by their tent. As a nomad, Abraham knew the sacred rule of hospitality. So he ordered that water be brought to wash their feet and then ordered that a meal be prepared. A couple of observations. First, we, the reader, know right off that these visitors are from above, from the Lord. But Abraham, we can't assume that Abraham knew this. When he uses the word, it's even in your Bibles, my Lord, he uses the word is with a small l, simply a term of respect. So even though there is no indication Abraham knew it was an angel or the Lord himself, still Abraham practices hospitality. He does this partly because in ancient times there was the belief that a wandering stranger could be an angel or a deity or the servant of a deity. And such an understanding is reflected in the passage that is listed in the front, on the front of your bulletin under words of preparation in Hebrews. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Hospitality. Paul then writes, extend hospitality to strangers. Now let's talk Greek for a little bit. There's a Greek word, phileo. No, it's not what you make Greek pastry with. Phileo is a Greek word meaning love, and usually the friendship type of love. Jesus occasionally uses phileo for love when he speaks. Okay, let's put a phileo with a couple of other words, like adelphos. Adelphos in Greek, anybody know what it means? Brother. It means brother. So let's put phileo and adelphos together. Phileo, adelphos. Sound like a city? Philadelphia?
Yeah,
city of brotherly love. Well, let's try another one. We'll again start with phileo, love. The second part, the second is xenia, X-E-N-I-A, xenia. You know what xenia means? Xenia means strangers. So if phileo adelphos is the love of brothers, what is phileo xenia? The love of strangers. That's right, the love of strangers. And what is instructive for us is that the Greek word we translate as hospitality is phileo xenia, literally the love of strangers. Perhaps you have heard of xenophobia. That's the fear of strangers. This dynamic is evident in the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Any of you seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
In this movie, a young Greek woman falls in love with a non-Greek. And struggles to get her family to accept him. At one point, her father, who cannot stand the thought of his daughter marrying outside the Greek heritage, cries out, "Zeno, she's marrying Zeno." In other words, she is marrying a stranger. She is marrying one not of us. Think about that for a moment. The Greek word phileo xenia is translated as hospitable or hospitality. It's not just setting a nice table. It's not just having a nice room to come into. It's not just a warm sanctuary in winter or a cool sanctuary in summer. It's the attitude and the spirit of the people of God to communicate a sense of acceptance with those who are not known by them or who are not like them. Now, if you Google the word hospitality, you come up with lots of results about the hospitality industry, hotels and restaurants and such. And yet, it's in this arena that the church has a lot to learn. I read that a leading restaurateur of New York City said that the key to his success is hiring hospitalitarians. What's a hospitalitarian? Well, this is a person who understands that virtually nothing else is as important as how one is made to feel in any given transaction. So, the question for us as congregations, do the strangers who enter our doors on Sunday morning, or Monday morning, or any morning during the day of the week, are they made to feel like nothing else is quite as important as they are? The Apostle Paul would have us to understand that hospitality is not an option for the Christian, but a moral imperative. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. A church that is not hospitable misunderstands the hospitality of God and betrays the hospitality of Christ. How many of you are familiar, I know you two are probably, with Harry Potter? Everybody familiar with Harry Potter? Harry is a wizard, only when the story begins, he doesn't know he's a wizard. He's being raised by the Dursleys. The Dursleys, Harry's Aunt Petunia, Uncle Vernon, and Cousin Dudley, become his foster parents, foster family, only because they are forced to. They don't really want Harry around. There's no room for it in anyone else in their family, certainly someone who isn't just like them. And even though Harry is closely related to them, his late mother and Aunt Petunia were sisters, he never feels for a moment like he belongs there. And then he meets the Weasleys, and Ron becomes his best friend. And he meets Ron's parents and his brothers and sisters. It's another close family, and they just open the circle wide of and welcome Harry in. His first visit is something of a classic case of culture shock. First, because he's never been to a wizarding home before and doesn't know things like that mirrors can talk back and how to get rid of a gnome infestation in the garden. But more than that, they welcome him so warmly and matter-of-factly that he feels welcome at home from the moment he is there. As a church, we can practice that hospitality as well. We want to be a family with all the warmth and ease of people who have known each other for a long time and understand each other's quirks. We want people to feel that sense of family the moment they come into the door, like guests invited to a friend's big Thanksgiving dinner. We want people to feel welcome. If they choose not to stay, we want it to be for reasons other than a lack of hospitality. Several years ago, Teresa and I were at a restaurant in Athens, Georgia, that is. Athens is the home of the University of Georgia and a charming college town. And while we were eating, we noticed a cute young couple eating at a table near us. And while the restaurant wasn't in the price range of the Pete Inn, it wasn't cheap either. And we could tell the couple was talking about the prices of the meal, and Teresa and I recalled our experience in St. Andrews, and perhaps our dating years back when they were their age, and the idea came that we ought to pay for their meal. And it was sealed when the girl got up to go to the bathroom and the guy immediately went to his wallet and started counting his money. When we paid our check and left, we asked for theirs, paid for both, and quietly left. You know, it made us feel so good, so warm inside. Extend hospitality to strangers. As Richard Kreutzer notes, the very core of a hospitable church is not how we do things or what we know and do, but it is all about what is in our hearts. Let's make sure welcoming the stranger is part of both of our congregation's DNA. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for lessons we can learn from Scripture about how you invite us and call us to live in this life. We thank you so much for the hospitality that has been extended to those of us at the Presbyterian Church in Caldwell by the members of the Verona Presbyterian Church. And we thank you that we are all part of the same family. We pray for the ministry of this congregation. As they are in a time of transition, we ask that your Spirit might be with them and guide them into a future of promise and hope and anticipation. We lift up to you, Lord, the cares and concerns of our hearts. We especially pray for those places in the world that need a special measure of your grace. We continue to pray for crisis in the Middle East, and ask that some way through that quagmire might be found that brings peace. We pray for those victims of the airliner which was shot down over the Ukraine. We pray for the families of those victims, and we just ask that some way might be found in going forward to honor the dignity of those deceased. When tragedy strikes, it affects all of us, but especially we pray for those who have been most intimately and personally affected. And now, as we continue to seek to be a salt in the communities in which we live, we ask that you be a source of light, hope, strength, reassurance, and comfort to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.